Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for giving us utterance today in the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's open our Bibles again today to 1 Timothy, the second chapter. You know, of course, that our golden text, our main theme text for this series of lessons is Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then another one of our main texts is John the 15th chapter, the 7th verse, where Jesus said, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." My words abide in you. For prayer to be successful, it has to be according to the Word of God. Well, this is the Word of God in 1 Timothy chapter 2. "I exhort, therefore," very first verse, "that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." Then he specifies the all men he's talking about, for kings. In those days, most nations were headed up by a king. Today, we have prime ministers and presidents and so on. And then he said, "for all that are in authority." Well, let's turn now to the book of Daniel, the 10th chapter, and read a passage concerning intercession that will be a tremendous challenge to our prayer life if we can fully grasp it. Daniel chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. We see Daniel here interceding on the behalf of Israel. "In those days," the very second verse we'll start with, "in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks." Now, that word mourning, King James translation, don't let it throw you. It's the same word, that's Hebrew word that's used for fasting. I was fasting. Very often when they fasted, they would say, "I'm mourning." Fasting 3 full weeks. Now notice, "I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." Now I think that this scripture makes it clear that there are different ways to fast, and that fasting doesn't always mean total abstinence from food. Notice what Daniel said, "I ate no pleasant bread." He was fasting 3 whole weeks, but he did eat, but he ate no pleasant bread. So you need to realize that there are different ways of fasting. Amen. And when you do fast, well, put in that extra time seeking the Lord and praying, or else it's just a waste of time. Spiritually speaking, it might help you physically, but we're talking about spiritually. Amen. Now, let's continue to read. Notice the 10th verse. "And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands." Now, notice this, that actually what Daniel was doing was just lying prostrate before the Lord, right flat on his stomach and on his face. And this hand touched him. He didn't get up on his hands and knees. He said, "That hand set me upon my hands and feet." Amen. "And he said," 11th verse now, "and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling." Now he got up and stood, but that hand lifted him up on his feet, you know, or on his hands and knees. 12th verse. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel. Did you ever notice that God never comes with a message of fear? All through the Bible, Old Testament as well as New Testament, when an angel came, when a messenger of God came, always the first thing he would speak would say, fear not. Amen. God doesn't come with a message of fear. It comes with a message of cheer. Amen. Hallelujah. And you remember this over in 2 Timothy, 1st chapter, about the 6th, 7th verse. He said, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. So he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day, everybody say first day. First day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now notice, first of all, that the angel was not sent from heaven to Daniel with the message until he prayed. Until Daniel prayed. Remember this, that whatever heaven does must be initiated first on the earth. In other words, must be initiated on the earth. Amen? Amen. God didn't do a thing till Daniel prayed. God sent the answer, notice this, on the first day. Notice the angel said to Daniel that your prayer, your words were heard the first day, and I was sent for your words. But the answer was 21 days in getting there. And yet it was sent the first day. Sometimes when we pray, the answer doesn't get through instantly. Now that doesn't mean that God doesn't hear us, and it doesn't mean that God has not sent the answer. He sent it the very first day, but it didn't get through. Well, why didn't the answer get through the first day? Verse 13 tells you, it says that the prince of Persia withstood the angel that was sent with the message. Now, when he talks about the prince of Persia withstood me, he's not talking about a physical person. An angel is not a physical being. An angel is a spirit being. Angels are spirits. In other words, here's what you need to see. There was here on the earth an earthly kingdom with the prince of Persia heading it up, a man. But right above this earthly kingdom that you can see with your physical eye and the prince of Persia that was the leader, there was a spiritual kingdom of darkness. And in that kingdom was a prince of Persia that really dominated in this seen realm. A satanic person, so to speak, called the prince of Persia, that was dominating the prince of Persia or the government of Persia here on the earth. Now, we'll look at another later on, this double kingdom business. See, where there's a kingdom here on the earth, but right above it in the heavens is this spiritual kingdom that's really dominating. Might be of interest for you to remember that Persia is the modern day Iran. I think you can see that that devil's still running that. He's still dominating. Amen. Amen. Remember this too, that the devil is very religious. Now, this prince of Persia in that spirit world or the spirit realm didn't want the angel to get through with the answer to Daniel's prayer. Because, you see, that was going to mean the end, temporarily at least, of that particular rule here on the earth. See, the message he brought, if you'd go on reading here, which we'll not take time to do so, but he brought the message concerning Israel and to Daniel was that this Medo-Persian kingdom would be dissolved. that the Grecian kingdom would come, and finally the Roman kingdom would come. Now, when the prince of Persia withstood the angel, God sent reinforcements of another angel. And finally, on the 21st day, he got through to Daniel with the message. Now, notice what the angel said as he left Daniel to go back. Notice verse 20. Now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. Now we read in Ephesians 6:12, our main text is Ephesians 6:18. But we read in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We refers to the church at Ephesus and Christians today and Paul. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Or, one translation said, or the margin reads, against wicked spirits in the heavenlies. Against wicked spirits in the heavenlies. Now, you know this, of course, if you don't, we'll refresh your memory, that the Bible speaks of three heavens. You remember the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, where Paul said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, such as one caught up into the third heaven. Remember that? 2 Corinthians 12th chapter, 1st and 2nd verses, third heaven. Well, if there's a third heaven, there has to be a second heaven and a first heaven. Amen? I said amen?
Amen.
And all Bible scholars agree that Paul was talking about his own experience here when he said, I knew such a man. Now, he went on to read into the third verse, saying, and I knew such a man, whether in the flesh or out of the flesh, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such as one caught up into paradise. So paradise is the third heaven, or the third heaven spoken of here is the heaven of heavens, paradise, where God's throne is. But now then there are those other two heavens. One of them, first heaven, is the atmospheric heaven right here above us. And evidently that atmospheric heaven is infested with principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world. And then you get a little bit above that into the second heaven, and there are wicked spirits in the heavenlies. Amen? Well, in other words, in this unseen world, the kingdom of this world, Satan has authority here on the earth, though that kingdom is right above it, you see, is unseen. He's ruling. Now, that should be obvious to anyone that Satan in the world, I'm talking about the natural world, you understand, he's not ruling in the church. And he's not ruling in my life or your life unless you let him. Amen. Remember Paul said right here, right into this same church at Ephesus, in Ephesians, he said, neither give place to the devil. Fourth chapter, I think it is. Don't give the devil any place in you. Well, the devil's here, but he can't take any place in you unless you let him. Amen. Neither give place to the devil.
Amen?
Amen. And so we need to realize then, that in this natural world, as we call it, Satan is ruling. In fact, he's called, in 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's called the god of this world. I remember reading an article in the paper during the Vietnam War, written by one of the syndicated columnists. And this man said, in writing his article, he said, I don't claim to be a Christian. He said, I'm not an atheist. The atheist says there is no God. He said, perhaps I'm an agnostic. The agnostic said, Well, if there is a God, I don't know it. Then he changed it in his article and said, no, I can't be an agnostic because I do believe that there is a God. I believe there is a God. Yet he went on to say, this writer in the newspaper, syndicated columnist, and so evidently had been to church. I've heard preachers say, he said, that God's running everything. That God has everything under control. This man went on to say, well, if he is, he sure does have it in a mess. If God's running everything, he sure got it in a mess. And he went on to talk about, because he had been over to Vietnam, about the war and people dying, and little children dying, and women are dying, and yet God's running it all. And then in the newspapers, you can't pick up a newspaper that you don't read about murders and rapes and burglaries and everything else, and yet God's running it all. Sounds strange, doesn't it? No, you see, Adam sold out to Satan, and Satan set up his kingdom here on the earth in the spirit realm. Amen. He set up the kingdoms here, the powers, the principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world. Notice the rulers of the darkness of this world. See, we're in the world, but we're not of the darkness of this world. In fact, we're not of the world, the scripture said. We're in the light. Now, God should be ruling, and Jesus is Lord over here in this camp. But see, you can't confess Jesus Lord over some city and he's going to become that Lord. No, you've got to pluck those folks from that kingdom of darkness and get them over in the kingdom of light.
Amen.
Amen. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Folks have gone too far with some things, you know. I was traveling, you know, preaching a meeting in another city, and one of the local churches bought a sign board, you know, one of these big ones. And it had on, Jesus is Lord over this city. I thought, well, if he is, he sure got it in a mess. Because I read there's some things that went on while I was there. No, he wasn't Lord over that city. And he won't become Lord over that city just because you confessed it.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? He is Lord over your life because you confessed him as Lord. And he can't be Lord over anybody else's life. You can't confess him Lord over my life. If he could, we Christians would just confess him Lord over everybody's life, and everybody would get saved today and we'd all go into millennium tomorrow. But no, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Get that person. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus said. If any man will open the door of his heart, I'll come in. And that's the way you become a Christian. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Notice that the margin says, the Greek says, if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. That means you confess him as Lord of your life and believe that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that's what we got to do.
Amen.
Get that message to folks and get them to confess that. And then he's Lord of their lives.
Amen.
But now we can readily see that in this world, in this natural world, the powers, the principalities, the rulers of darkness of this world, that we do have to deal with them. And this is where the fight is in making intercession. Amen. You see, the fight is not with God. God is not withholding from us. Amen. Notice here with Daniel that God sent the answer the very first day. The angel said, God dispatched me with the answer the first day you prayed. If we'll just put that in our own language. But you see, something happened between that third heaven. And I don't think there's anything up there in the third heaven that hindered him. Do you?
No.
But in coming through that second heaven and that first heaven, and getting down here on the earth, he did encounter some opposition. Something happened between heaven and earth that kept the answer from getting through. That's a reason we have to wrestle sometimes. Now, it's not that we're wrestling with God for we're not wrestling with God. It's not that God is withholding, because he's not. Are you listening to me now? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do have to wrestle. Now notice, he didn't say that we don't wrestle, we wrestle not, and stop there. He said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now here's where folks miss it. They're trying to do spiritual wrestling with flesh and blood equipment. Well, I'm going to put me on me a combat suit. Well, that wouldn't help anymore. Amen. If you put on a swimsuit. Amen. It's a spiritual something, not a physical something. Amen. So we're wrestling with the devil. Well, you can't wrestle with the devil in the flesh, because he's not a fleshly being. Now, if I'm wrestling with this fellow, I might get an arm lock on him. Amen. But you see, what's happening is people are trying to use physical tools to do a spiritual work. And they try to put it on. See, they may see somebody else in the spirit of doing something, but they just ape and imitate that and think it's going to work. No, you got to have the same anointing.
Amen.
Same anointing. So that's the reason that we see a lot of extravagance and extreme things that are hurtful. Amen. Are you listening to me? So he did not say we do not wrestle. He said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. See, sometimes as a Christian, we just have to simply stand our ground. You'll notice he kept on saying that after he said, put on the whole armor of God, and having done all to stand, stand. We just have to stand our ground and just simply know what belongs to you and refuse to be moved.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you, but many a time I've just stood my ground. I don't mean down, you know, and if somebody was around me, they wouldn't even know what was going on. Because it's happening in the spirit realm, not in the fleshly realm.
Amen.
People all around me. And yet I'm saying on the inside to me constantly, because of some conditions that existed, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe. And I believe it shall be according to that which was spoken to me.
Amen.
I'm talking about spoken to me in this word.
Yes.
Well, I'm spiritually wrestling, and there's people all around me. They don't even know it. I'm in a public place. I said I'm in a public place. And there's people all around me. Some people think if he's going to wrestle with the devil, well, you got to jump up and down and holler and go through certain maneuvers. No, it's not a physical wrestling. He just got through saying that. It's not flesh and blood. It's not physical. It's spiritual. You do it with your spirit, not with your flesh. Now, you may speak some things out, you see, but you're still speaking them out by the inspiration of the Spirit.
Yes.
And thank God, I don't know about you, but that's brought me through many a hard place. I just referred to one incident there, but I mean many a time. I mean with people all around me, even in a public place, I just stood my ground and said, I'm not moved by what I see. I mean, if I'd been going by what I'd see, you'd just simply say the jig's up. You know what I mean with that expression? You know what I mean with that expression? In other words, you're a whip boy, you might as well quit. It's all over. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If I'd have been going by how I felt, you'd have thought, well, boy, I better get somebody to pray with me. I'm backslid. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe. And I believe that it shall be even as it was told me in the Word.
Amen.
Glory to God. Just stand your ground. Just stand your ground. Amen. See, where folks have missed it, they've made it a physical wrestling. And they're trying to do it, wear themselves out. Do you ever know, just wear themselves out. Wear their voice out. They're doing it in the flesh. Now, don't you misunderstand me at all. There are times, and we'll get into that later on, you get into some certain kind of spiritual, like, for instance, travailing in prayer. And yet I've done that for hours. And yet when I come out, I've eyes refreshed. I've never give out like these other folks are. Now why? Because I was in the Spirit. I wasn't doing it with my flesh. I was in the Spirit. The Holy Ghost, through my spirit, was manifesting himself. There is a difference. I said there is a difference. But you see, you can take this kind of attitude and you get whipped. You can take this kind of attitude, well, you know, boy, I'm fighting the devil. Oh, I'll tell you, I'm having a time with him. Oh, I prayed 6 hours yesterday. I'm going to have to pray 8 hours today. I'm just wore out. Well, you're in the flesh. Bless your darling heart. You know, you see something, oh, what a battle we're in. Oh, we're constantly in a battle. Amen. They used to say to me, I come over, see, I was Baptist. Got the baptism in the Holy Ghost. God been healed, reading Grandma's Methodist Bible. Got the baptism in the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongue. Got the left foot of fellowship among the Baptists, 1937. Now, don't misunderstand me. Since then, I've been in Baptist churches and had 150 filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking other tongue in 1 week. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. But nonetheless, back there then, you was automatically out. That's it. So I started to pastor a little full gospel church in the black land of north central Texas, and we'd have a fellowship meeting the first of every month, and I'd go to the fellowship meeting, the pastors lined up, and I'd come along and they'd say, how goes the battle? They're all in a battle. And I'd say to them, men, it couldn't be better. I don't have a care.
Amen.
And walk right on by them.
Yes.
And they'd blink their eyes and scratch their head, and like one of them said later, we thought you was nuts. Come to find out there's the one that's nuts and I was the one that was right.
Amen.
Because you see, I had another kind of praying, you know what we talked about? I'd cast all my care on the Lord. I'm not fighting anything. I've cast all my care on Him.
Amen.
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 And I'm just enjoying myself. I'm not having any battle.
Amen.
Now don't you misunderstand me at all. These things come up at times, but when they do, we stand our ground. We're not moved. Amen.
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 Praise God. So we need to accept the challenge. I'm sometimes appalled at Christians who, when something goes wrong, and so many times this happens, they cry, you know, they say, well, why did this have to happen to me? You know, as though they was the only one that ever happened to. No. Those things, whatever they are, happened to all of us. Amen. See, the devil will throw every roadblock he can in the Christian's way. Instead of spending all of your time trying to figure out why this had to happen to you, stand up and look the devil right in the face like they sing about sometimes.
Amen.
Glory to God. And just say to him, Mr. Devil, I believe God.
Amen.
I believe it shall be even as it was told me in God's holy word. You're not going to dominate me.
Amen.
You're not going to dominate me.
Amen.
Remember what Paul said writing to the Romans, the saints at Rome? What is it, about the sixth chapter? For sin shall not have dominion over you.
Amen.
Well, you could readily say that sin and Satan are synonymous terms. It wouldn't do an injustice to that scripture to read it like this. For Satan shall not have dominion over you.
Amen.
After all, stop and ask yourself the question. Just how much of the body of Christ does Satan have dominion over? Are you a member of the body of Christ?
Yes.
If you've been born again, you do.
Amen.
Satan does not have dominion over the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. We are the body.
Amen.
So Satan has no dominion. Satan shall not have dominion over you.
Amen.
Sin shall not have dominion over you.
Amen.
Anything else that is of Satan shall not have dominion over you.
Amen.
Now why? Because you're not under the law, you're under grace.
Yes.
Then there, that verse I referred to, that's Ephesians 4:27. Paul said to the same church here at Ephesus, neither give place to the devil. Now paraphrase that in common usage, don't give the devil any place in you. Well, that means he can't take any place in you unless you let him. Amen? So that means then that he can't dominate you. He can't rule over you. Satan shall not, for sin shall not dominate you, or sin shall not rule over you. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Now why? Because see, Jesus is your ruler. Jesus is your ruler. Another translation said, for sin shall not lord it over you. So we could read it like this. For Satan shall not lord it over you. Neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. You see, he'll take a place in you if you'll let him. But instead of him having authority over you, you have authority over him.
Amen.
Now, if I've got authority over the devil, why should I have so much trouble with him? Because I either don't know it, or I don't know how to take up my authority, or I'm really trying to do it some other way. Now, it seems like, you see, those folks are in the flesh. You remember back in the Old Testament, they decided to build that tower into heaven, Tower of Babel, you know. See, man is trying to get to heaven some other way other than God's way. Jesus said, I am the way.
Amen.
See, you still got your fleshly nature.
That's right.
See, it was your spiritual nature that was changed when you was born again. Now, whether you like it or not, you just might as well sit down and acknowledge the fact that man has two natures.
That's right. Yes,
he does.
Amen.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. He's got a fleshly nature that he's got to contend with. That's the reason Paul said, I keep under my body. If he didn't, you wouldn't have to keep it under. See, it's in his spirit, that inward man. Paul talks about the outward man and the inward man. The inward man's a new man. The inward man's in Christ. The inward man's changed. The inward man's got a new nature.
Amen.
He's got the nature and the life of God in him.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
See, what is God's nature? Well, it's love and life.
Amen.
Amen. God is love.
Yes.
God is love, the Bible said. And the Bible said the love of God
yes.
has been shed abroad
yes.
in our flesh. No. You let somebody hit you and you'll find out right away that the love of God's not shed abroad in your flesh, because your flesh will rise up and say, I'll give you one of these. Amen. You let somebody spit on you and your flesh won't spit on them. Amen. You let somebody talk about you and your flesh won't talk about them. No, the love of God hasn't been shed abroad in your flesh. Love of God's been shed abroad in your heart. In your spirit, in that inward man.
Amen.
And that's what you've got to do, is learn to let that love on the inside of you dominate, not your human reasoning,
Amen.
Not your natural mind.
Amen.
That's the reason you need to get your mind renewed with the Word of God.
Amen.
As Romans 12:2 said, and that's the reason you need to present your body, as Romans 12:1 said, unto God, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto Him. King James said, which is your reasonable service. If you look at it closely, the Greek literally said, which is your spiritual service. Actually said, your spiritual worship. See, we don't know much about worship. He said, that's spiritual worship when you present your bodies to God, a living sacrifice. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Praise God forevermore. So you still got that old fleshly nature. But in your spirit, you got a new nature. And so you got to learn to keep that fleshly nature under, not let it dominate you. Let the inward man dominate you. The love of God constraineth us. The love of Christ constraineth us. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God forevermore. But now you can let the devil have a place in you. See, if you're not going to dominate, see, Your flesh dominates you, you're going to give place to the devil, because he'll work through the flesh. Because see, you contact this world where he's God here with the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
And so like I said, with some people it's all a fleshly something. But no, it's not. It's really a spiritual thing. We need to learn to live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, Paul said. Live in the Spirit. And you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the flesh keeps lusting after things that are wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Well, we're on that. That's a little beside the subject, but it's still true. Why don't you just open your Bibles there real quickly to the 5th chapter. See, we're talking about sin shall not have dominion over you. Satan shall not have dominion over you. Or that is, dominate you. Or another translation said, Satan shall not rule over you or lord it over you. See, if anything lords it over you, it dominates you, doesn't it? It rules you. Sin shall not lord it over you. So we could say, Satan shall not lord it over you. Amen. Now, notice here in the 5th chapter of Galatians, let's start reading the 16th verse. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, you'll notice I'm reading the King James translation there, that the translators put a capital S there, as though you're walking in the Holy Spirit. But like W.E. Vine points out in his Expository Dictionary of New Testament words, there's only one Greek word for spirit, and that is pneuma. And you have to tell by the context whether it's talking about the human spirit or the Holy Spirit. And really, they shouldn't have capitalized that. They ought to have left that scene because he's talking about your spirit, not the Holy Spirit, your spirit and the flesh. Spirit and flesh. Spirit and flesh. Did you ever notice that's what he's talking about to the Romans? He used a different word in the 7th chapter of Romans. Are you listening to me now? Learn something to bless you and help you. All right. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, you see, the flesh then lusts after things that are wrong. But your spirit doesn't, because you got a new nature in there. Before you got born again, the spirit wouldn't bother you. Whatever the flesh you want to do, just say, okay, go ahead. Amen? Amen. But now then you're born again, and the flesh wants to do the same thing it always did. But you see, you're going to walk in your spirit nature, not your fleshly nature. Can you see it?
Amen.
All right. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, leave that little s, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, he tells you what the works of the flesh are and what your flesh will lust after. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. All four of them have to do with sexual sins. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such thing shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now again, they capitalize that. That's really not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't bear fruit. It's the fruit of the human spirit. That's a way you can tell by following these whether the flesh is done. Because your flesh won't do all those things. I said, your flesh won't do all those things, he said here.
Amen.
Notice hatred's one of them. Somebody does something wrong, your flesh wants to hate them. But your heart wants to love them.
That's right. Amen.
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 Amen. The fruit of the Spirit. Now just look at that for a minute and look at that capital S and just imagine that's a little s referring to the human spirit. Let me prove to you that it is. Let me prove to you that is the human spirit, not the Holy Spirit. Turn over to 1st Epistle of John real quickly. 1st Epistle of John. Y'all look so comfortable sitting there. I believe I'll sit down. Amen. Surely you wouldn't object to anybody following Jesus' example. The Bible said he sat down and taught the people, doesn't he? Again and again. So I'm just going to do that. All right. You got your Bible open to 1st John? Look in the 3rd chapter. 3rd chapter of 1st John. Look at the 14th verse. Somebody tell me what it says. We know. We think so.
No.
Maybe so.
No.
Perhaps this is right.
No.
Well, this is my opinion.
No.
This is my theory.
No.
This is the way I've got it figured out.
No.
This is the way my church teaches it.
No,
no, we know.
Yes.
Everybody say we know.
We know.
See, that's positive, isn't it?
Amen.
What is it we know? We know that we pass from death unto life. John puts himself on that. The people he's writing to himself, he's included in the we. He couldn't be talking about physical death, because he's talking about physical death. He'd be dead and couldn't be writing a letter. So he has to be talking about spiritual death, doesn't he? We know that we pass from death unto life. That's being born again, isn't it? Isn't it? Now, how do we know we pass from death unto life? Because what? Because we love the brethren. Then love is the very first fruit that shows up in the human spirit. Why does it? Because of the life of Christ within. Go back to the 15th chapter of John's gospel for a minute. John wrote that epistle. John also wrote this gospel of St. John. 15th chapter. We'll not read all of it. You can read there the first several verses. But you'll notice among other things that John says here, Jesus is speaking. He's quoting him. I am the vine, ye are the branches. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Every branch that bringeth forth not fruit. You see, now, where does the fruit grow? On the branch.
Amen.
Well, who's the branch?
We are.
Yes. Hallelujah. The fruit grows out there on the branch. I'm the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. The fruit grows out there on the branch because of the life of Christ that comes up through the trunk of the tree, the vine, so to speak, into the branch.
Yeah.
The very first fruit that shows up in the recreated, born-again human spirit is love.
Amen.
We know we pass from death unto life because we love.
Amen.
All right, now notice. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Remember Romans, the 5th chapter, and the 1st verse? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. See, that's talking about being saved, isn't it? We have peace. What I'm trying to point out to you is that every single one of these is fruit of the recreated, born-again, human spirit because of the life of Christ that's in us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So you can readily see that what he's talking about here is a contrast between, you could call it the works of the flesh, and he calls it the fruit of the Spirit. We can call it the works of the outward man and the fruit of the inward man. Well, you're supposed to let the fruit of the inward man dominate you, not the works of the outward man.
Amen.
Crucify the flesh.
Amen.
Crucify the flesh.
Amen.
Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin.
Amen.
You're not dead. You wouldn't have to reckon yourself if you're dead.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How come us to get off on that? Well, I don't know it so anyway. Praise God. Amen. We got off on fact because see, so many people are trying to, even over here in the spiritual realm, trying to do it with the flesh. Amen. And it can't be done. Now, let's look again. Open your Bibles to the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, and we'll see another illustration of what I was talking about of the kingdom here on the earth and another kingdom right above in the spirit realm that's ruling and dominating. You can readily see there from Persia that there was a prince of Persia here on the earth, a man that could be seen that headed up the nation of Persia. But there was in this spirit realm where the angel wrestled with him another spirit being that was also called a prince of Persia. Double kingdom, so to speak. All right, here we are in Ezekiel 28 chapter. You see a little bit more about this double kingdom. That is the natural kingdom upon the earth and the spiritual kingdom. Now notice here, the very first word, very first verse of the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came again unto me saying, now verse 2, Son of man, say thou unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Now, the prince of Tyrus referred here is a man, for the Lord said, yet thou art a man. All right, now skip down to the 11th verse of the same chapter. Notice something else. 11th verse of the same chapter, 28th chapter of Ezekiel. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation unto the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond. And so on. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created. Now see, this individual is not a man. He is a created being. Till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub. Now he calls him a cherub, an angelic being. From the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Now it's quite obvious here that this is not a man that he's talking about. He's talking about a spirit being. Now at the beginning of the chapter, he spoke of the prince of Tyrus, saying to him, "Yet thou art a man." But when he spoke to the king of Tyrus, he said, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." He's talking about this something that started back there in Eden. See, the prince of Tyrus had never been there, but Satan was there. So he's really talking about Satan here. He's talking about Lucifer or Satan, and he's saying that on the earth, the prince of Tyrus had an earthly kingdom. He was a man, you see, that he ruled over, but that behind that was an invisible kingdom, and that Satan, with his invisible kingdom, was actually ruling. That's what he's saying here. Can you see the picture of it? So we see this double kingdom reference both in this scripture here in Ezekiel and also the scripture in Daniel that we looked at. Now you remember we read in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 4th and 5th verses, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." See, it's not a carnal or a fleshly warfare. "But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, in this spiritual war, so to speak, because he talks of warfare, we do have weapons. But they are not carnal. They are not fleshly. It's not fought in the flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Not guns and grenades. You can't double up your fist and go after the devil. Amen.
Amen.
Our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty. Through God. Not through ourselves, but through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. See, these powers are satanic strongholds, powers in the realm of darkness. And that's where intercession comes in. I was preaching years ago. In fact, there was a church. I held a meeting there before I left my last church. I believe that was the hardest place to preach. And the people seemed to love me and love the pastor. They were receptive to the word. And yet it was just like something had a hold of you. You just couldn't. You weren't free. Amen?
Amen?
Well, they changed pastors. I left my church and went out on the field, whole revival. That pastor left. Another one came. In fact, one didn't stay too long. Lovely people, but it's just hard. It's just tough. So they just got tired of it and left. So another pastor came and he wanted me to come. And I really didn't want to go back there and hold a meeting. Because, boy, I'd been there. I mean, do you ever get a hold of any, now you younger folks don't know what I'm talking about, maybe you may have read about older folks have, you know, used to, we didn't have all the sprays and stuff we got today, you know, and it used to, you know, they had one of these sticky fly paper things, they'd hang it in a room, you know, and flies would fly into that, stick to that, and they can't get loose, you know. Boy, that's all like it was there preaching. Seemed like you, all the time, you was a fighting while you're preaching. I mean, it seems like you get this hand stuck, you get it loose, and this hand stuck. You get it loose, and your foot stuck. You get that foot loose, and the other stuck. And I'll tell you, you just didn't want to go to the pulpit. I don't know whether you understand that or not. But it's tough. And here I'm invited to go back the next year and hold revival. Well, I didn't want to go, but right on the other hand, you know, I do have some sense. I ain't got nowhere else to go. They ain't no other door open. And I got a wife and two kids. And I've got to eat and they've got to eat. Amen. So just whatever door's open, I take. Somebody said, that might not be the will of God. Well, will of God or no will of God? I've got to eat. And I found out that God blesses you. Amen. Last church I pastored. Strange thing, but absolutely true. I was especially led. I read in a periodical about a fellow I'd held a revival for when I was on the field that he had left his church. Been pastor a number of years. Lovely church building. And when I read that he was open for calls, you know, on the evangelistic field, I had that, beyond the natural. It was a spectacular, supernatural witness that I should have him. And I kept saying, well, I'm going to call Brother So-and-so and invite him to come hold me a revival. Kept saying that over a several day period. And one day I started to pick up the phone. About that time it rang, so I picked it up and said, you know, and somebody on the line, the operator, because he's calling to get over me, said, so-and-so was calling, person called, Reverend Kenneth Hagin. I said, this is he. And so that man came on. I said, hey, Doc, I've been thinking about calling you the last 4 or 5 days. You just saved me a long distance telephone call. What are you calling about? Well, he said, I'm not begging her for anyway, but said, I just want to let you know, don't know what you're doing. You know, I'm on the field now. I said, that's what I was going to call you about, see if you'd come home and meet him. Well, I said, sure I can. And I had such spectacular. You know, he come held me a meeting, not one single person got saved. Not one single person got baptized the Holy Ghost. Not one single person got healed. He didn't even pray for the sick. Well, now, if God, you were so spectacular, I saw after it. See, you couldn't even see right then. Because, see, I'd taken this church and had been pastor there sometime. When I took it, even though I got all the votes but one, it's divided right down the middle. I mean, half the congregation sat on one side and half on the other side and looked daggers through one another. But you see, he got around. He preached all right, just had not say. But he talked to somebody. He pastored. His people told me, and he wasn't too much of a preacher. But he had a good new church building full of people. They said, you know, he may not be much of a preacher, and he wasn't a teacher at all. That's not his ministry. But said he's one of the best pastors. I mean, he saw after his people. He had the right answer. He got around among my people and got them all back together. And got them doing things together. And I saw what God had in mind, great blessing. Now, here was another fella later on that I got to come home here, a revival. And I'll tell you honest with you, I really didn't much want to have him. See, I knew him, bless his heart. I'll tell you why. I did it just out of a heart of love, just to help him. I wasn't led of God. I prayed about it. I had no leading whatsoever. I think if I'd gone by my leading, I probably wouldn't have had it. But I'll tell you why I had it. The poor fellow didn't have any meetings. Now, I'd preached for him and even had him hold me a meeting in another church several years before. He didn't have any meetings. And I did it just to help him, just to take him up an offering. I said, come hold me a meeting, you know, and we'll help you. And I did. I got a lot of money for him. But his wife told my wife, because I could readily see they didn't have any clothes. We bought them clothes. His wife told my wife, she said, I didn't even have a slip to wear. We was traveling down the street, and I saw this slip hanging out of a garbage can. And I stopped and got it. That's the only one I got to wear. Down to no clothes. Think about that. And so we just made up extra money, bought him all new clothes, him and her too. Gave him the best offering we gave anybody. And had no leading at all. Tell you the truth about it, just felt, you think about having, you felt dead. You know what I mean? On the inside of you, you know? And yet we got more people saved in that meeting than the meeting we had. Now God will lead you sometime. He has a purpose in mind. There are other times, if you're acting in love, God will honor that. I know one church I pastored, the fellow that's pastor there before me had moved over and his pastor about 15 miles away to another church. And people was talking about this great revival they had. And so I was talking to him about it one day. When he told me, he said, one night just before church, he said, I didn't even hardly know this fella. I knew he had, you know, license or papers, you know, credentials with the same denomination. I saw him at convention, you know, shook hands. That's about it. You don't know a fella because somebody said, brother so-and-so, this brother so-and-so, and you shook hands with him at convention. But said one night just before church, he was about 15 miles away in another town, and he called. He said to me, brother, I don't know you. I do know you. Of course, that he's pastor of one of our churches. I know you're in the same, you know, church group, denomination. But he said, I've got to have a revival. I've got to, and he about 45 minutes till church starts. I've got to start a revival tonight. I've got all of my furniture in hock. And I'm going to lose every stick of furniture I got if I don't make a payment on it this week. I've got to start a revival tonight. He said, without thinking, I said, well, come on, brother, we'll start something, do the best we can. He's about 15 miles away, said, and the fellow said, well, you know, he had to, something else before he got there. And he said, well, we'll just sing till you get here. Never heard the man preach, didn't know whether they could call hogs or not. You know what I mean? But the fella came, and they had the greatest revival they ever had in the history of that church. I mean, one thing, he is desperate. But he did that just to help a brother. Now, thank God the Holy Ghost leads us. And thank God, I'm glad the Holy Ghost led me to have Brother Bozeman.
Amen.
And I couldn't see it then, but afterwards I could see what a blessing he was. And I was really led. I didn't have any leading at all. I just did it out of kindness, just to help that poor fella. I mean, he's hurting. Amen.
Amen.
But we got the most people saved. We hadn't any revival. What was there? Most people filled with the Holy Ghost. And there's four or five preachers came out of it. Young men. And God called to preach. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So thank God for the Holy Ghost. But sometimes you just need some sense. Good old common sense. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just need to let the love of God dominate you. Say, if I can be a blessing, I'll just be a blessing.
Amen.
I'll help that fella out. Glory to God, whatever it is. How come you to get off on that? Well, anyway. So this fella wants me to come. They got the new pastor at this church. And he wants me to come back. Well, I don't want to go. Dear Lord, I thought about it. I wish I had something else. But I ain't got nothing else. I mean, that's the only door that's open. I got a wife and two kids. I got house rent to pay. I got electric bills coming due the first of the month. I got a gas bill that's coming due the first of the month. I got a water bill that's coming due the first of the month. I got a Sears and Roebuck payments coming due the first of the month. I got a Montgomery Ward payment that's coming due the first of the month. And that's about as far as I could stretch it. And that's the only door open. Besides that, they did fairly well financially the year before. And they love me and I love them. So I'll just go. Amen. But boy, it was tough. It was tough. It was tough. It was tough sledding. You know what I mean by that? Huh? Oh, brother. Something else opened up. I never was so glad to get away from a place in my life. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.
That concludes this message. For more information about Kenneth Hagin Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484 or visit our website at www.rhema.org or write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74150-0126. And in Canada, write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 335, Station D, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9A4X3.